Ever notice how ads always pop up at the worst moments? When the killer's identity is about to be revealed. During that perfect meditation flow. On Amazon Music, we believe in keeping you in the moment. That's why we've got millions of ad-free podcast episodes, so you can stay completely immersed in every story, every reveal, every breath. Download the Amazon Music app and start listening to your favorite podcasts ad-free, included with Prime.
Marketing is hard. But I'll tell you a little secret. It doesn't have to be. Let me point something out. You're listening to a podcast right now, and it's great. You love the host. You seek it out and download it. You listen to it while driving, working out, cooking, even going to the bathroom. Podcasts are a pretty close companion. And this is a podcast ad. Did I get your attention? You can reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements or run a pre-produced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience in their favorite podcasts with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com, that's L-I-B-S-Y-N, ads.com today.
Welcome to Act 3, the podcast where we explore how to thoughtfully shape the rest of our lives. I'm your host, Kara Gray. This podcast is sponsored by Good Morning Freedom, my third act consultancy, where I help executives and professionals with a plan to intentionally design the rest of their lives. For more information, stay tuned until the end.
Today, I welcome Allison O'Shea to the podcast. Allison is a speaker, author, and founder of Openly Aging, a platform dedicated to helping individuals take control of their aging journey with intention and confidence. With over 20 years of experience as an executive director in senior living, Allison has worked directly with thousands of older adults and their families. She has seen what happens when people wait too long to plan and what's possible when they don't. If you are retired yourself, you may feel healthy and independent, but Allison's message is clear. This is the time to think ahead. Through her signature framework, The Four Pillars to Keep Control of Your Aging Journey, Allison teaches how to align your lifestyle, finances, support systems, and purpose with your values so you can stay independent longer and avoid the chaos that often comes with aging unprepared. Her mission is to replace fear and avoidance with clarity and empowerment, because aging is not a crisis waiting to happen. It's a journey we can guide on our own terms. Let's talk about the elephant in the room and create a plan that supports the life you want to live now and in the future. Allison, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am so excited for this because I have discovered Allison on TikTok, the place where I discover all kinds of new things all the time. And not to make this all about me, but I am very interested in the idea of aging independently. I am a single woman. I do not have children. And I have many girlfriends who are in the same position. And even if we were to get married again between now and the end of our lives, chances are women end up alone anyways. So it's really good to have a plan in place. But I also think a lot of my listeners are in that sandwich generation where they are also taking care of older parents at this time in their lives. My parents had me very late in life, so they have passed already. But I know a lot of folks are in that position where they're having to make some really hard decisions. And I think it's a lot harder if they haven't had these kinds of discussions about and talks about what actual systems could be put in place. And on TikTok the other day, I ran across a poster that said money plus the right services plus wellness equals years of control. Yes. And I was like, I want to know everything. I want to know all the things. So we could start there, or we could start with maybe your framework to talk through like the different sorts of systems. That's up to you. But I'm very curious to know.
I appreciate that. I love that. I just started my TikTok in June, and I am shocked at how much it's growing and how many people out there are looking for this information.
Yeah. Are you finding more older people directly or are you finding children as well?
My first TikTok was actually directed at adult children saying, oh, I know this is going to be more adult children, but pass this information on to your parents. And I got inundated with, wait, what? We're here. We're
in. That's me. I need a plan.
I was like, oh, so then I had to do an apology post. I'm sorry. Okay. And then I just realized, oh my gosh. And that has been going back to what my framework is, spending 20 years in senior living. I just saw a lot of crisis. I saw a lot of people who just all of a sudden the adult children are calling me and having to make decisions for mom and dad. And a lot of my colleagues, I would say, sometimes tend to then go and support that caregiver. There's a lot of resources for caregivers, probably not enough, but there's tons. But what I saw was there is not a lot of resources for somebody who is 70 older, who is independent, who doesn't want to be. Every person says, I don't want to be a burden to my children. It means nothing by you just saying it. You have to actually put plans in place. And I've, from the beginning of Openly Aging, wanted to speak to those people that I saw end up in my community 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak
and
say, oh my gosh, there's so much we can do. And I learned a lot. So my four pillars is what I call them. Actually, I developed them because every crisis I encountered in senior living fell into one of those four pillars. They were broken. They weren't thought about. They weren't no one was being intentional about them. And when one pillar breaks, you are at such higher risk for needing support and higher level of care. And so I really, all the years I saw very angry aging people because they didn't want to be in my community. They felt forced into my community. And I don't know about you, but I plan to live to 100. And I don't ever want to be resentful or angry about any part of that. I want to feel like I'm in control of it. And I want to promote my independence as long as possible. And so that's the basis of what my mission is and why I'm here today.
Yeah. What is the first pillar?
The first pillar is support system.
Okay.
So you have to have people around you that can support you, and not financially. If you fall tomorrow, you know, who is that emergency contact? And it's just thinking deeper about it. If you don't have adult children, or the adult children you have do not live nearby, but you'd never plan on moving near them, which is a fine choice. There's no right or wrong answer. You need to start just being intentional about when that time comes, what are my options? And if you look around and everyone's your same age, they're all going to need the board one day.
I know my girlfriends and I joke about having a golden girl house someday where we're all like,
love that.
Yeah, I like that. But I think that we would also have the support that we would maybe all pay for jointly.
100%. I think that's actually the future of aging for solo agers.
Yeah.
Pooling resources together, like all of you getting this house, and then maybe you have a care manager that shows up once a month and checks in with everyone to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
Professional support systems. So a lot of people have family, maybe younger nieces, nephews, children, but if you don't, then you do need to be educated on what a professional support system, and that can come in a variety of ways. It could be a person, such as a care manager, a nurse advocate, there's two terms. Or it's a community type living situation can also be a professional support system, putting yourself in a position where you have professional support system around you, and that might be community living. So there's a variety of ways of doing it, but just knowing that your support system may be lacking as you get older due to your circumstances is 101 in my aging pillar. So then what happens is you start, your ears perk up, and now all of a sudden, oh, care manager, I need to know. So every time you hear about a care manager, all of a sudden you're Facebook. You're going to be like, oh, care manager. It just opens up your eyes to a service that you would have never thought about before. And even if you don't need it now and you may not need it in 10 years, you're just aware of it.
Yeah, that was one of your posts that I remember like being like, what is that? Like, I've never heard of this before. Wait a minute. I can have a relationship with somebody who does this like as their profession?
100%.
Wow. How do you find these people?
Know.
Yeah.
So there's an association for it. There's certification. So Aging Life Care Managers is like the official association name, and care manager falls under that. Nurse advocate is another professional support system, but those people are nurses. So they really help you navigate medical issues. So if you're somebody who has a lot of medical issues, you're going to go that direction. But if you're somebody who just you're healthy now, you're probably going to stay pretty healthy. A care manager might be somebody that checks in on you every 6 months, and then it goes to every 3 months, and then it goes to monthly as you age. And they're just there to notice any changes, which is how you stay independent, is by noticing the small things and help you just address them in a way that's proactive. But knowing how they're not cheap. These are people, they're professionals, they're social workers or nurses. So they're going to be around $125 to $150 an hour, but you're not using them for hours of care. You're using them to check in. So $150 a week for somebody to come in and make sure you're safe in your home and you got food in the fridge and that you're taking your medicine is way cheaper than 20 hours of home care.
Or going to a facility where, that's crazy what that starts to cost.
So that's the idea, is just knowing your profession, your support system. And now, once again, if you have children, but they're not local, that's also part of this pillar is, do you ever plan to move to them? And for some people, it may be, yes, when I need help. All right, let's identify some triggers. What does that mean? Or no, I'm never going to. So then maybe you do want to invest in a professional support system because your adult daughter will love you for that.
Yeah.
So it's just about strategy and thinking, my circumstances are, this is a pillar that could be flimsy for me. What are my options? And knowing how much things cost, how do they work, and what are the services out there?
Yeah, I got really lucky with my mom, who was the last to pass of my parents, and that she did this. But it was easier because she was in a rural area where kind of everybody knew everybody else. So there were people to keep eyeballs on her. And then also she just kept hiring in more people as she needed more help. Well, and she was able to stay home until the last 5 weeks of her life. And she did it.
Yep.
But for me, I live in Chicago, like in downtown Chicago. Like I do not know people. So knowing that there's actual professional certified people who are equipped to deal with this and who you can hire and feel very independent knowing that you're doing this is amazing. I did not know this.
But also,
thank you, Alice.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Then.
Yeah. So second pillar, though, I was going to piggyback off of that.
Yeah. Sure.
Living environment. So we, especially this generation that's in their 90s now, it was a lot of pride to, and it still is, I'm not saying it's not, to own your home, to buy your home, and to age in your home. Sometimes that can be the worst thing we can do as we age, because if the home is the home we raised our kids in, or it just is huge, or it just doesn't make sense to age in, but we're like hanging on to it for dear life.
Yeah,
that is one of the biggest risk factors for you needing assisted living, because all of a sudden your children or somebody you love or a neighbor is going to walk in and look and say, oh, you're not keeping it up. There's expired food. There's trash. And now you've lost all control and all of your choices just because you were hanging on to this thing that doesn't make sense. And so that's why I also feel it's really important when in our 70s, especially, to really identify, is this a place I can age in? And if it's not, that is the time to start thinking about, what does this look like for me? And because I came from senior living, everyone thinks I just push everyone to senior living. No, there are so many ways to downsize. You can go to a condo, you can go to a patio home, a townhouse even, that's fine. But just knowing that the home you're in, if it's not going to make sense long term, moving before you need a lot of support is actually ideal. And this is also the time when, do I want a community? Do I not want a community? And it doesn't mean going to senior living. It can be a 55 plus. I always tell the story my parents retired to. I live in Durham, North Carolina, and they retired to this really small coastal town called Oriental, North Carolina. It's a big sailing town. They built this house on this street. Everybody on their street is 70 and older. It's like their own 55 plus. They have dinners together all the time. They go into town together all the time. So they didn't buy this house thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be surrounded. But they have created such this little community and they're doing great. And so it doesn't mean an institutionalized community. It just means be thoughtful about that next step and make sure it's promoting all of your pillars. Don't move to a condo building if it's everyone's busy working in Chicago, downtown Chicago, and you have no connection to anyone around you. That's not really going to help you in those years of your life.
So being careful
about where you live is a big piece of it.
Yeah. And I do talk about that with my clients. So that pillar I knew about. I don't get super serious with it. This could be a problem for your kids and for everything moving forward if you don't think about it. But I do bring it up. And oftentimes the conversation with my clients is more just a winter home versus cold, things like that. But I do talk about, are there a lot of stairs in your house? Like, how big is the house? Is that manageable? Do you want to deal with it anymore now that the kids are gone? Wouldn't life be a lot simpler if you just... had a smaller space, but I get that generation really liked the big houses.
You did.
It was and that like is a source of pride. So it does need to be a mindset
and it's counterintuitive shift. For them. If they don't have a mortgage, they don't understand why they would enter back into a mortgage or...
Yeah.
Even though I always say, get something that you pay, use the... whatever. There's ways to do it. But that is really hard for them to wrap their head around. We've paid off this house. Why would we... go somewhere, we have to have a monthly payment.
Yeah.
Get down. How much are you spending to upkeep that big home?
Yeah. That's
not helpful either, that you're only using a little part of.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense in a lot of situations. And there are increasingly more options for 55 plus communities and things like that. And the idea of the word community is very important as we get older as well. So whether you have that by intentionally moving into a community where it's organized and you're going to meet people who hopefully align with your interests or find it in other places. That's a big subject with my clients as well and needs to be considered. But in this context, even more. And I've heard that there's now, I was listening to that podcast, My First Million. I don't know if you know that one, but they were talking about, it's all like business ideas that make millions of dollars. And one was a community, like there's these retirement communities popping up around like affiliations, like one folks who have moved here from India, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Like a whole community. And they're making a ton of money building these retirement communities for people that are very alike or want to be with people that are alike. So I think that's really interesting too, just from a business perspective. Okay. Pillar number three.
We can just social connection.
Oh,
so important, and understanding how you socialize. So a little backstory. I got my degree in something really unique, I guess. It's called therapeutic recreation. And so I spent 4 years learning how to help people recreate from a therapeutic way. And so that has always taken me through my career, because I actually started out in senior living in activities is how I got into senior living.
Yeah.
And so social connection is super important, but we hear that all the time. But what people don't realize is understanding how you recreate is actually the more important piece of this pillar. So for example, if you're an extrovert, you need to just acknowledge that. And my husband is the biggest extrovert. I didn't even realize it until COVID, until the world shut down. And he turned to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it never dawned on me until then how extroverted he was, because I'm on the extroversion spectrum. And I was like, oh my gosh, you are like, this is going to be too much. But because if you don't massage that muscle, if you're not around people, you are going to decline faster. Mm-hmm. And seeing that you're an extrovert is really important, because then that is a person that I'm going to say, hey, you need to be around people. So how do we make this part of your life, your next move? Make sure we're accomplishing that, because we have, and there's a variety of ways to do it. Same thing with if you're an introvert, it doesn't mean you don't need people.
No, you just need smaller groups of people, more like tighter connections.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
But there's also two other ways people recreate, that you can be a social recreator. So somebody who arrives at a party, loves an event, loves bingo, book clubs, but you arrive and you enjoy the socialness. Or are you a purposeful recreator? Are you always the one that has a job? Every group you belong to, do you end up being like the vice president or the president? Like, I'm a purposeful recreator. I find a job everywhere I go. Even to my dismay sometimes. Like, how did this happen?
You're like, this always happens. Wait a minute.
Yeah. And that's also really common for men.
who take too long to retire and then retire and they decline.
Yeah.
They're actually purposeful recreators and they got their purpose at work. And then all of a sudden they weren't thoughtful about how to make sure that still happens. And I tell people there's boards you can join.
Oh, yeah.
But knowing how you recreate is also an important piece of knowing your how to keep control of your aging journey because it plays a big role in what you're going to need.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's exactly what I help my clients with, finding purpose and identity and community and relationships and everything that they had in their jobs, because it's true. I don't like to lead with you're going to decline faster, but it's a fact. I try to be more positive. You get to design the rest of your life. And it's
I get to be the director.
Get to die really quickly. It's not it, but it is.
But it's true. But it's so true. And even if you don't feel like you're declining because you're sitting on, you're enjoying your retirement. If you're just sitting around all day, that's not healthy for you. Sometimes that purposeful recreation gets us out and moving, and it's just better for our bodies.
Yeah, for sure. Pillar 4.
The fourth pillar is the money pillar. This is supportive services. This is understanding what services are out there, how much they cost, what is covered by insurance, what is not covered by insurance. This is a big piece people miss because what happens is we start in our aging journey and we're going to stay home. That's our goal. We're going to stay home. We're going to stay home. All of a sudden, we didn't realize we can't afford to stay home. We can't afford home care. And now our family is struggling trying to figure out how do we get you the support you need, but you don't have the money to do it. And we should know way ahead of time what we can afford and what we can't afford. And are we eligible for benefits? And even if we don't need them today, will there be a day where we can receive a certain benefit because of our finances? And how does that benefit work? Or if we do have a lot of money and we are not worried about paying for services, that's the opportunity then to say, okay, which direction do you want to go if this happens? Would you consider a continuing care retirement community at the age of 75? Or do you want to stay at home and maybe remodel and bring your master bedroom down? So regardless whether we're concerned about money or we have enough resources, knowing what services are out there and what's covered by insurance and what's not.
Yeah.
People get confused. Home health and home care. Those are two very different services. One is covered by insurance and one is private pay. And you should know the difference so you understand what options are out there for you. This is also the pillar that I help people identify triggers. So in my book, I wrote, sometimes when we're aging and our loved ones are around us in the background, oh my gosh, why is she not making decisions? Why? It's because we're caught up in the day-to-day. We're not really thinking about the future. So triggers help us identify very black and white things that occur that make us have to move to the next part of our strategy. Big ones would be not driving anymore. If all of a sudden you're not comfortable driving or a doctor has told you not to drive, that's a big trigger. So that we should already have a strategy for that. We should have already been thinking about that. Because not driving doesn't happen suddenly.
No.
I've had people that have driven their whole lives until they pass. And I've had people where I'm like, ooh, you're on bar driving. So we continue to tell. So it's not a surprise. Yeah. So if you are somebody who's already getting nervous driving, doesn't like to go to new places, you should already be thinking about what transportation options are out there for you.
Yeah.
Whether you need them today, but just know it's out there. Another trigger is finances. A lot of people say they want to stay home, but if home care gets to be over $10,000 a month, does it make sense to move to assisted living? It's cheaper. Or no, I want to spend my money that way. Then that's fine. There's no right answer, but understanding your thresholds, understanding what your daughter's thresholds are. If she says, Mom, I can take you to 3 doctor's appointments a month because I'm working and I have 3 kids, then you need to respect that, but you need to have that conversation. And that's a trigger. So just helping my clients put some triggers in place helps when we're developing their strategy, because it just allows for no one to get caught in the fog. And everyone to say, hey, Mom, we already talked about this and I'm at my threshold. We've met it. And so now we're moving on to the next phase of our strategy, which there's a lot of options.
Is there a recommended age that you think that these conversations should start to happen? Or is there like an early trigger that happens? Or what's your advice?
So definitely if you get diagnosed with a cognitive impairment, which part of my mission too is to take the shame out of aging. We cannot avoid aging. We are all aging. And some of us are going to come across aging issues that just suck. We're starting to notice our memory sucks. Maybe we're losing our balance. We're having some neurological issues. That sucks. I'm not going to take that away from anybody. But at the same time, you can't avoid it. You can't put your head in the sand. So the minute you're having issues, no matter what age, neurological or cognitive, that is a trigger right there to start talking about strategy, understanding what your options are, getting your family on board to have big conversations. That can happen at any age, 65 and up, really.
Yeah.
My ideal, if you're not having any aging issues and you're feeling great and you think you're going to live forever and that's wonderful, is my ideal avatar, if you will, is 75 and independent. I think that's the perfect age to start now. If you're thinking about like a continuing care retirement community for your future, you need to already have that because there's wait lists forever. I would say that move in is 75. So there's that. But for most people who are independent and doing well, 75 is the perfect age to start their strategy. Just start talking about their strategy. Just have conversation. Think, look around them at their own pillars and say, ooh, I don't have answers for that yet. Or, ooh, I don't. Oh, but that pillar is doing great.
Celebrate the wins.
Yes. So yeah, I would say 75 is like my perfect avatar.
Okay. How do people work with you? What is the path to work with you and how can we get a hold of you and get that started?
Especially
for my listeners who have parents that are probably in this area.
I do help a lot of adult children contact me a lot and I help get the conversations going with families. And even if mom and dad aren't willing to be part of the conversation, I can still help adult children at least navigate what they should be looking at or what they should know. I call my service or my program the Aging Readiness. And there's two ways. So one, for a lot of people, they just need an overview of their pillars. So it's my Aging Readiness Roadmap, and it's a 2 sessions, and that's it. So we meet and we talk through. I get a lot of questions answered. I ask a lot of questions. And then we basically put a high-level strategy plan together. And it's basically me saying, okay, this pillar is great. You're doing great here. This pillar, this is the one that's going to create more of your problems. And so then we talk through, okay, here's what your options are. And so they can start really thinking about what their goals are. A lot of times after those 2 sessions, they'll hire me again for a family session. And we can talk with the whole family to say, hey, mom and dad have put this in place. Here's what their plans are. Here's what their goals are. And it really helps just ease the family's tension, or it just helps with those conversations. So it's basically helping them put a strategy, a high level strategy. If there's more of an intense situation or we have really big decisions to make, we are going to move, or we did get diagnosed with the cognitive issues or neurological issues, that is called my Aging Readiness with the Expert. And that's a 4-session program. And that one we really dive into. For example, I had a client recently, he's been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, which is not a great dementia. But we were able to pull the whole family together and I educated them from start to finish on what they can expect, what services are out there. They want us to keep them at home as long as possible, of course. And so we talked about, you know, what kind of support you should get, what should the triggers be, what are going to be the things that are going to be hard to manage with that diagnosis. So then the family left feeling way more prepared. They can always call me back in for one-off conversations. So once you work with me once, like I have a lot of clients that go through the Aging Readiness Roadmap and we check in every 6 months. We have one when I'm there before they get that professional support system, I'm their aging strategist until they're ready for a more intense support. But yeah, that's how my program works. You can find me on my website, openlyaging.com, and it has a bunch of information. And yeah, I wrote a book. It's on Amazon, Openly Aging, the 4 Pillars to Keep Control. So it's a good entry into the 4 Pillars.
Yeah, for sure. And find you on TikTok. And I think you're on Instagram as well. But I got to recommend the TikTok. I really love TikTok. I don't know what the future of it's going to be, but I find it just rewarding. You can learn about anything on there. And you pop up and I'm like, okay.
Thank you. And I so appreciate that, because as somebody who has just ventured into it, because what I learned was the TikTok algorithms shoot you out way more than like Instagram. It starts with your content. Yeah. And if they don't watch it or if they don't shoot it out, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
This business model I'm following from a few professionals I've listened to. And so, yeah, it's going. And I'm actually enjoying it. And
thank you. I do feel like education is such a big part of everything that you're doing. People understand how it works, from families to the actual person who's aging. Like, this can just go so much smoother.
It's a mindset shift for me. I want people to, like I said earlier, the shame of aging is so prevalent in our society. We are scared to tell our family that we fell. We're scared to tell somebody that we think we're having memory issues. And I just think that's really sad when we can't help it. And so I want to take the shame. And so I want to reframe aging to be something we can control and something we can actually put our little stamp on, and not just something that happens to us. And so that it's really a culture thing that I want to start really putting out there.
For sure. Yeah. Having agency and knowing that you can be independent if you want to is amazing. Like, I feel very empowered by knowing that you exist and knowing that there are services that exist. And it makes me feel a lot better about getting older by myself. I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy and as vibrant as possible. There will come a time where I'm going to need help. And I'm like my mother. I do not desire to go into a community. I'm an introvert. I make sure I still have social connections, but I like my space. And I don't really want anybody else in it.
No, and I get it. And that's and I always tell people there's no right or wrong answer.
Everybody's
want to do it
different.
But you've got to be intentional about it, or it's not going to work out the way you want it to.
Yeah. Allison, thank you so much for your time. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is sponsored by Good Morning Freedom, my consulting practice. I help executives, professionals, and business owners plan the non-financial part of their third act, like how to discover new purpose and how you want to spend your time. I offer a one-on-one third act blueprint package where we work together to discover some new avenues for exploration in your next chapter. My work with you is completely custom and will provide you with a ton of resources and support as you transition to this new stage of life. Don't miss the opportunity to intentionally design the rest of your life. For all the details, please go to goodmorningfreedom.com.